Join your hearts with mine in prayer. Our fathers, we've just sung, "Oh Lord, you're so beautiful." How thankful we are that you've called us to be your child. And today, as we gather together, we want to acknowledge your sovereignty. We want to acknowledge that you are omnipotent, that you are omniscient, that you are omnipresent, that you are holy, that you are just. You are a great God, and you've called us to be your children. Thank you, Lord, for keeping your eye upon us. Thank you for holding us in your hand. And we pray that as we come to the Word of God this morning, that we would be good hearers of your Word, that we would be able to internalize the truth that you bring to us this day, and through the power of your Holy Spirit, that we would be able to examine ourselves in such a way that we would seek to be conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. And so we ask our Father that you would guide and direct us through these next few moments, and that you would be the one who is honored and glorified and praised. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. Well, welcome to you. Glad that you're here on this Mother's Day. Happy Mother's Day to all you moms out there. And today I wanted to talk a little bit about the right perspective. You know, things are getting awfully confusing in our world today. Lots of opposition coming from many places. Lots of things contending for the attention of the hearts of our children. A lot of things to seek to divert us away from following God and understanding God. And so I want to talk a little bit about how do we maintain our spiritual sanity in the midst of such chaos in our world. But, you know, I've been in the ministry now 40 plus years, and I was trying to think about how many Mother's Day sermons have I preached during that time. And I think there's probably been about 40 of them. And I thought, well, how do you be original for the 41st time, you know, and preaching on the same subject? And so as I looked through some of the messages that I've spoken in the past, I did come across some one-liners that I had picked up from different sources throughout time. And they were one-liners that dealt with motherly wisdom. Wisdom that mothers impart to their children while they're growing up. And this morning I thought I'd share a few of them with you, and I'm just calling these one-liners of wisdom from mom. And one of those is friendship. Real friendships are those people who, when you've made a fool of yourself, they don't think you've done a permanent job. And so it's good to have those kinds of friends. And then mom always talked about work. Everything who comes to him who waits, especially if he works while he waits. Stubborn people. Some minds are like concrete, thoroughly mixed up and permanently set. So avoid a hard heart. Love. Love is like the 5 loaves and 2 fishes. They don't make a difference until you give them away. Success in marriage. Success in marriage is more than finding the right person. It's being the right person. Character. Character is not an inheritance. Each person must build it for themselves. Wisdom. It's not a matter of holding good cards, but how well you play the hand that you're dealt. You know, there's lots of good advice out there for us. As a matter of fact, in surveys that are done when people are asked to name who it is that was their strongest supporter and the most influential person in their life, in many cases, people say their mother was that person. The maternal bond between mom and child is one of the strongest bonds in humanity. And God has given mothers a special place of influence in their child's lives. For good or bad, moms are a life influencer. And it has been, a decade now since the passing of my mom. And every Mother's Day seems just a little bit empty. Just a little empty. Without the opportunity to thank her and to praise my mom for the treasured gift that she was to me as her child. I must say, in my private world of personal thoughts and feelings, the passing of my mom was emotionally excruciating. Perhaps the greatest tribute that I can give to my mom is, my mom, though not perfect, she loved me perfectly. Great woman. Never in my life did I ever doubt whether I was a loved child. It didn't matter how many rocks I threw that broke windows, how many bad grades were brought home on the report card, how many schoolyard brawls I got into, how many neighbors called the house to report on my neighborhood misdeeds, or how many errors I made in a ball game. I was always secure in knowing the love and support of my mom. Indeed, love covered a multitude of sins in my case. I'm sure many of you have had that same experience with your mothers who have passed on, and there's an emptiness that you feel in your heart. But on the other side of this conversation is, sadly, not all people have had the same fortunate experience that I had with my mom. Some people have suffered in life because of an absent mom, or at the hands of an abusive mom or an unkind mother. And this is heartbreaking, and I must admit it's hard for me to understand the long-lasting pain of a child who did not have the blessing of a loving mom as I had in mine. I wish everyone could know the mother's love that I knew. As I thought about Mother's Day, the words of King Solomon, some words that King Solomon wrote, impart some real direction to us. Proverbs 1:7 says this, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." And as I thought about our culture, as I thought about moms raising children in this culture and in the climate that we have, this verse helped me to understand why our nation is in such trouble today. The world spurns and despises the wisdom and instruction of God. Our culture has replaced the truth of the Lord with the fleshly desires of the sin nature. In the day in which I was raised, the thought of Isaiah 5:20 through 23 were hard for me to comprehend. I didn't understand how they could be true. For in my growing up years, through my parents and in our neighborhood, I always felt there were certain moral boundaries, certain guardrails of generally accepted conduct of good and bad, generally accepted conduct of right and wrong, that protected the welfare of individuals, that protected the welfare of communities and property, and protected the welfare of our nation. I was taught when I was a child that two wrongs don't make a right. But as I've journeyed through six decades of life, I see there has been a crumbling of these boundaries, which has created chaos and confusion and unrest through our nation. Isaiah 5:20 through 23 sums it up best. "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those who are wise in their own eyes and clever in their own sight. Woe to those who are heroes in drinking wine and valiant men in mixing strong drink, who justify the wicked for a bribe and take away the rights of the ones who are in the right." You see, we've become a nation that has resorted to calling good evil and evil good. Darkness is substituted for light. And as a parent, I'm sure that it concerns you as you raise your children in this culture, is how do you help them to keep their feet directed on the right path? How do you help them to stay straight and narrow in their walk with the Lord? I know what I have read here from Isaiah 5:20 is fairly pessimistic, and it's even painful for us to face as our culture doubles down in rejecting the Judeo-Christian ethics, the foundation stones upon which our nation was built. However, in the pain and concern which I read in Isaiah 5, I have hope for our generation of children. And my hope comes from this, because our nation still has parents like you. Parents who understand and know the reality of Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom instruction. You know, this is where all godly parenting begins, with moms and dads who love the Lord Jesus Christ, moms and dads who fear the Lord, parents who stand in awe and reverence of the Lord. The success of all good parenting begins in the heart of the parent with their walk with Jesus. It is because of a parent's committed resolve to love the Lord and follow His wills that then God adds verses 8 and 9 behind verse 7. Hear, my son, your father's instructions, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are grateful wreaths to your head and ornaments around your neck. You see, verses 8 and 9 presume the parents, dad who gives instructions, and mothers who teach their children, that they are God seekers, God followers, God glorifiers. In other words, people who love and fear the Lord. The parental directive in this passage is first, parents, fear the Lord, for this is the beginning of knowledge. And as I contemplated these verses, I felt a sense of God's peace well up within me. The sense of peace I found was the comfort of God that our children, your children, do not have to be the victims of the ungodliness taking hold in our country. Because your kids have in their parents a mom and dad who love the Lord, who honor the Lord, who fear the Lord, and serve the Lord. And as a result of your parental dedication to the Lord, as a result, mom, of your personal walk with Jesus, your children have opportunity to gain the wisdom of God as they grow up. In their growing up years, they have you to help them to negotiate how to deal with this crooked and perverse generation in which we live. I've had conversations as I get older with many grandparents who have said this to me. I fear for my grandchildren and the type of world they have to grow up and live in. More than one person that I know who has grandchildren have mentioned this in various different ways. You know, I've often felt this way myself in relationship to my life and my grandchildren and my one day to be great grandchildren. I mean, when we look at the conditions and the directions of the world, the direction and condition our country is going, the rapid decline of spiritual and moral sensibility, as well as the demise of integrity and common sense. It's enough to scare the bejeebies out of all of us. Now, I'm not sure what bejeebies are, but boy, I tell you, that's enough to scare them right out of me. However, in this study, I find hope. I find hope for our children. I find hope for our grandchildren and our one day to be great grandchildren because of parents like you. God has not and will not forget His remnant. Yes, things are going to get hard. Yes, things may get difficult. And yes, we may feel our Christian values are more and more in the minority than we have ever felt them to be in the minority before. However, faithful is the Lord. Faithful is the Lord. Therefore, as it is in our, as it has been in our generation, so it will be in the generation that comes behind us. None of our kids have to live as victims to the world. For our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and His righteousness. The onslaught of a culture that is drifting further and further away from God just means that we as moms and dads have to be that much more serious, that much more strongly committed, and greatly energized to instruct and train and teach our children. We hold the reins to our children's lives, and we need to hold them wisely. I see in the scriptures, as parents love, follow, fear, and serve the Lord, that God will equip them to raise their children with godly instruction and teaching. Your children, as they live with you in your home, they will learn from you how to love God. They will learn from you how to fear God. They will learn from you how to follow God, because you, their mom and dad, model for them godliness and how to walk well with Jesus. Mom, as you fear the Lord, and when I use the term fear the Lord, meaning it as you stand in awe of God, as you reverence the Lord, as you show respect for God and the things you do, God is going to use your witness at home, your example at home, your walk of faith at home, to model and shape the heart and the values of your children. And on top of that, as you follow God and you seek to model and train your children in the way that they should go, God in His greatness and in His blessedness and in His love for us, He's going to grant you parenting wisdom. He is going to give you insight as you instruct your children and teach your children in the values and in the principles of God's Word. Look at Proverbs 1, 7 through 9 again. Notice the relationship between the fear the Lord as the beginning of wisdom, and a child's hearing the father's instructions and the mother's teaching. A large part of wisdom in the parenting mission is that parental instruction and teaching will guide the child into reverence, awe, and respect for God. Therefore, the parenting mission begins with proper parent preparation, which is, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all His righteousness. Matthew 6:33. With this challenge in mind, I was reminded of something one of my Bible professors, Dr. Elliott, told me as I prepared for the ministry. We were in a conversation one day about discipleship, and he said, "Remember, you cannot take anyone deeper into the well than you have been yourself." That was true for pastors in regard to their relationship with God and their walk with God and their understanding of God's Word. You can't take them any deeper into that well with God than you have been yourself. But you know, this is also true of parents in regard to their children. You cannot take your children any deeper into a walk with God than you have been yourself as a mom and a dad. You are their instructor. You are their teacher. You are their guide. You are their model. How is that going for you in your personal walk with God? Do your children see the lordship of Jesus Christ in your life? I call you, Mom, to begin your parenting strategy on your knees before the Lord. Seek His wisdom, seek His face, pursue Him through the Word. Bow your knee for wisdom for yourself as you call on the Lord for the needs of your children. So this leads me to the penetrating question. If your children were to mimic your commitment and dedication to the Lord, if they were to follow your pattern of how you live for Jesus, would this be a delight to you? Would this make you smile? If they copied your zeal for the Word, if they mimicked your prayer life, if they followed in your footsteps in terms of your commitment to your faithfulness in following God, would this bring joy to your heart? Because you are their pattern. You are their model. I'd like to shift our focus a bit by pointing out that Isaiah pays a wonderful tribute to mother when he compares the comfort, when he compared the comfort of God brings to his children as the same comfort that a mother brings to her child, Isaiah 66:13. In Psalms 34:14, motherhood was paid a great tribute by King David when he compared the deepest grief a man can experience as that as one who mourns for his mother. And I can testify to that. But those verses emphasize something more. They emphasize the significance and the importance of a mother's role in a child's life. As I reflected on my growing up years with my mom, and as I watched Linda serve our family, I gained a firsthand look at the giant task that comes with motherhood, the many skills that it requires, the dedication it took, the unselfishness and sacrifice of giving oneself every day to the family, time and talents, and most of all, Mom, the investment of your heart and soul into the life of your children. As I look back at my mom's commitment, and as I looked at Linda's love and commitment for our children, I see that love was a motivating factor in their serving, in their caring, in their dedication to the family. I rejoice in the goodness and the blessing of God from the perspective of the husband, Proverbs 31:10-12, an excellent wife who can find for her worth is far above jewels. The heart of the husband trusts in her, and he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all her days. I've found excellence in my life. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From the family side, I and my children rejoice in Proverbs 31:27-28. She looks well to the ways of her household and does not eat of the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband praises her. In the home where I grew up and the home my children grew up in, they have been homes where moms were more than physically present. They were there in homes where mom was lovingly physically present with heart, soul, and spirit. As the fruit of that love came out of their lives, they exhibited to the family that spirit of servanthood that is often described in Philippians 2:3-4. Do nothing from selfishness or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourself. Do not merely look out for your own personal interest, but also for the interest of others. Wow. Just like mom. Just like mom. I know these words were penned to the church of Philippi and were intended to guide believers in their interpersonal relationship with each other. However, I want to suggest to you this morning that the best way for children to learn how to serve the body of Christ is for them first to learn how to serve each other in the home. You see, servanthood is a transferable concept between the walls of the family and the house and into the community. In the home, sometimes competition among siblings can be furious. And sometimes it's hard for children to learn to serve, to give up the front seat to their sibling, to think more highly of others than themselves, especially when they're tired, cranky, and want others to do for them. However, something I've observed over the years of ministry is children who learn how to serve in the home are children who grow up knowing how to value others outside of the home and how to serve them. So moms, thank you for living it out, Philippians chapter 2, 3 and 4 in your home. The fruit that grows in the home from your example is the long-term fruit of faithfulness which will grow in your child's life. And as they come to know Jesus, and as they come to know the Spirit of Jesus, the Spirit of love and servanthood, your child will use then their spiritual gifts for the common good, helping the church and also to make the world a more Christ-centered place in which to live. In the time we have left, I want to do two things very quickly. First, I want to share and exhort moms on where to find your foundation in the parenting process. And then second, I want to leave you with some parenting advice that I'd like to say that I've exercised well over the years, but I've seen others exercise it well over the years. And so, where does motherhood start? Motherhood starts with this. Begin each day with God. Placing yourself on the altar of the Lord as a living sacrifice, committing yourself to live in your home for His glory. Pray for your children by name and need, asking God to fill you with His Spirit to give you wisdom and understanding as you mold and guide the footsteps of your family. In other words, Mom, begin the day by focusing on your personal walk with God first as the foundation of everything that you do in the family. And your strong and committed personal relationship with Jesus will have a forever impact in your home and in the lives of your children. I give this counsel of strengthening your relationship with God each day because I believe that the outcome of walking well with God will result in you gaining strength, wisdom, and insight in your world of parenting. Here's what I believe about your strong walk with God. Your personal walk with God will guide you into loving your children with an unconditional love. 1 Peter 4:18 says this, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear." You see, a mother who is continually experiencing the unconditional love of God in her life as a child of God will know by experience how to love her child unconditionally. Unconditional love is the foundation from which good discipline and patience grows, and the place where tough love takes root. As I mentioned earlier, despite my childish faults and disobedience as a child, one thing I always knew that would never change was my mother's love for me. And I know your children know that too. Second, your personal walk with God will help you gain wisdom in raising your children, John 1, 5 and 6. But if any of you lacks wisdom, ever come across that bridge in parenting? But if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask God, who will give to all generously without reproach, and it'll be given to him, and he must ask in faith without any doubt, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. You see, turning to God and seeking him daily will help mitigate parenting frustrations. Because when you call on the name of the Lord, but from a faith-filled life, God will give you wisdom. In the moment of time, you may think you're muddling your way through and you're not sure if you're doing the right thing. And as you pursue the Lord and God gives you wisdom and you put that principle into practice, you say, I don't see the results that I think I should see. But the wisdom is the consistency of the parenting. And you cannot measure the success simply in that moment of time. For we're parenting for the long term. Consistency and reliability from the part of the parents is so important. We're parenting for the long term. God will give you wisdom. He will give you strength in your personal walk with Him. And He will guide you in the pathway that you need to go as a parent. Third, your children, your personal walk with God will help you live a positive example of faith before your children. 2 Timothy 1:5. For I am mindful of the sincere faith within you, which first dwelt in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am now sure that it is in you and in you as well. Notice the transfer from grandma to mom to Timothy. Mom and grandmas, you are the teacher of faith and you are the examples of faith. Your children can see in you, in living color, Jesus, whom you follow each day. As you pursue God with the whole heart, your godliness is going to show up in your attitudes. Your godliness is going to show up in your words. Your godliness is going to show up in your conduct as you follow Jesus. From your example, children will learn how to live out their faith in Jesus. Your children, by watching you, will learn that following the will of God is a normal part of life. Not unusual, not unique, but following Jesus is normal for a person to do who loves God. Fifth, your personal walk with God will help you to be a good listener. James 1, 19 and 20. This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of God does, or the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. When I thought about these verses and considering motherhood, I was rejoicing that this wasn't a Father's Day sermon. How many times have I let my flesh or frustration get out ahead of my listening skills as a parent? How many times did I react to a situation rather than take the time to act sensibly by understanding what the will of the Lord is? Walking with God daily helps to control our emotions. It helps us to measure our words. And it helps us to act in wisdom rather than to react in the flesh. Having the influence of the Holy Spirit in a Spirit-filled life to guide your attitudes, words, and actions, it's a real plus when raising children. Your personal walk with God will help calm your spirit and will help you to be a good listener. And I guess this is really point five. Your personal walk with God will help you speak wise words to your children. Proverbs 25:11. Like apples of gold and settings of silver is a word spoken in right circumstances. Mom, your words are very powerful in guiding a child's assessment of their worth and their value as a person. I believe the words parents use to describe their children creates the framework by which children's self-concepts are built up or tore down. Words such as you're stupid, what's wrong with you, don't be a dummy, you jerk, shut up, or are the like, all of these words may adequately express your parental frustration or anger in a moment of time. But these words will deliver great blows of harm to the child's heart and spirit. Ephesians 4:29, let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, but only such as a word that is good for edification, the building up according to the need of the moment, that it may give grace to the hearer. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned as it were with salt, so that you may know how you should respond to each person. Colossians 4:6. Words, words, words. God feels strongly about how people talk to one another. And God feels strongly about how parents talk to their children. Mom, be careful of your words. They can build strong towers for God, or they can tear down God-given potential in your child. So I exhort moms, begin each day with God, placing yourself on the altar of the Lord as a living sacrifice, and pray for your children by name and need, asking God to fill you with His Spirit and wisdom. And so as I close today, I want to just revisit some principles I shared with you in the past concerning parenting. I think it's important to review them. They'll be very quick, but it's important to review them because that's how we learn. Repetition is good for our learning, and sometimes it's good to be reminded of principles that we ought to put into your life. First, this. Remember, your children's values are more caught than taught. I learned this principle in a series from Growing Kids God's Way. What this principle implies is you can teach your child principles to live by, and teaching is good, but what your children sees in you living out in your life will result in their training as a child. In other words, your kids are with you a lot. And be assured, your words can instruct and teach your child. But your behavior trains your child. Your behavior trains your child. And just for the record, the idea of do as I say, not as I do, not a good parenting strategy. Not a good parenting strategy. You need to be able to say to your child, do as I do. Because it is right and it is just and it glorifies God. Second, when disciplining your child for a bad behavior or attitude, take time to talk to them about a better way to handle the situation the next time. Often, and especially in the younger years of the child's life, they may not know the right way to act. They didn't come pre-programmed with good child behavior or good adult behavior. And so they may not know the right thing to do. So when they miss the mark in attitude or behavior, take the opportunity to share with your child a better way. Teach your child the moral principle, the biblical principle, of why a different response is better than what they gave. This helps your child to learn principles of righteousness that will become transferable concepts in their life as they get older. So teach the principles as well as the conduct. Third, as you observe your child's attitude, words, or conduct, and you see them doing well, call them out on it. Call them out on it with words of appreciation. If another adult praises a good behavior in your child, find a moment in time that you can share that with your child, because that reinforces goodness in their life. That reinforces righteousness in their life. That reinforces them to understand what is the right thing to do in a given situation. These verbal rewards reinforce good values and help to build positive character. It solidifies and encourages the child to the behavior that you want to see when you say, wow, I'm really proud of you for doing that. I'm glad you took that initiative. That's exactly what God would have you to do. Fourth, brag on the good things or good traits to others when your child can hear you. And what I mean by this is when you're talking on the phone to grandma and your child's sitting just a few feet away doing homework or something, say, "Hey, Graham, you know, Johnny at school the other day, he did such and such a thing. I was so proud of him." Because your child hears that praise that you are giving to others about them. And it reinforces value. It reinforces good behavior. It's a way that you tell your child, "Nice job." And when they hear you say that to other people that you love, or when you're talking to your spouse and you say, "Hey, you know what, honey? Johnny took out the garbage and I didn't even ask him. That was really a blessing of service to me. That was really a blessing of service." They get to put conduct, their action, and the consequences of their action being a reward to others and a kindness to others. So don't be afraid to share those good things, because we're quick to correct the bad things. So we want to reinforce the good things that we say. We don't want you to do that, but this is really great. It honors God. And finally, compliment character. Compliment character as well as accomplishments. Get trophy for first place. They need words of encouragement for having done their best. Do not expect little people to act like little adults. Encourage character and effort, not just accomplishment. Highlight things like good sportsmanship or taking a risk on trying something new. And though you fail, what are the lessons you learned from it? Many people live life leaving their untapped potential on the table because they fear failure. Encourage that failure is a good teacher, and don't be afraid to try. So these things, with these things in mind, I'd like to just take a moment to invite our mothers, if you would just come right up here behind the camera to the front for a moment. If you would just come. I know it's a little embarrassing, but come on, moms. We'd like to pray for you. And we'd like to ask God's blessing upon your life, with many mothers obviously hiding in the back. But if you would, just come. And if you just, right here. Just right here. We want to pray for you guys. And if the rest of you'd stand and just put your hands towards our moms here as support and love and joy for them.
Mine are 56 and 57, and my youngest grandchild is 21.
And you're still teaching them, I'm sure. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much for moms, for the goodness that they bring in our lives, the love that they share with their children each day. We thank you for the testimony of these women and their love for you. We thank you for the wisdom and discernment that you are willing to give them in Jesus. And I would just pray, Lord, that you would help each of these moms to live each day in the presence of being your daily sacrifice. That you would help them to give wise counsel to their children. Help them to bring the discipline that will result in the fruit of righteousness. Help them to know how to instruct their children with words of kindness and, when necessary, words of correction. We thank you for the value that you place upon these ladies and for the worth and value that they bring to the family and the amazing things that they do with their skills, abilities, and talents. And help them to know that this day that as a church, we love them deeply, we support them greatly, and we cheerlead them on to victory in their walk with you and in their parenting mission. We love you, Father, and give you the honor and glory for all that you do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for taking the awkward moment and being part of it. And I would like to invite you each to take a plaque here, and we've done a little special for the food fellowship, and invite you to come and take of that as well. God